Well, we are in our second week in this life story of David, and we had found that David has been anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the next king, and David being very young at that age. And David, we also see, as kind of give an intro here where we're going today, David also has come to a place when there's a battle going on with King Saul and the Israelites and the Philistines, and what we see is David's three brothers, his older brothers, are there in the battlefield, and David is going back and forth, as David is also an armor bearer. As we found out last week, he's also an armor bearer, he's a musician, and he's taking care of sheep, going back and forth, doing all these jobs. And he's taking some food to his brothers out here on this, as they made these battle formation lines. And we know that David actually had killed this giant, Goliath. Here's the unique piece here, that in Numbers chapter 1 verse 3 says that you have to be 20 years old to be in the military to serve in God's Israelite army. And we know that so there was not one soldier there that would fight this giant, and it took a very young maybe teenager or whatever, but he had got that victory, and he just had victories after that, and Saul put him in, and then we found out that Saul says, now he's going to be with me and not going to go home anymore. Now he is in the castle, and he's got a lot of victories. And so we see here some things are going great until he gets so many victories that people begin to sing songs that David had killed tens of thousands, and Saul has only killed thousands. And so Saul is very jealous of that. But there's also a reason why Saul is struggling. Saul's also got this demonic spirit that continues to work inside of him. God allowed that to happen because he walked away from God and all those things. And so there's times when Saul tries to kill David. David's on the run. Then Saul ends up, oh, I want you to be in my family. And then David ends up becoming his son-in-law to King Saul. He's married, he's in there, he's got everything. And then Saul gets angry again, thinking, oh, this guy, what's he got? Now all he wants to do is get my throne. And so we see all these things happen, and then now David is on the run. David is on the run, running from Saul, and David begins to do things that is kind of out of his character. He begins to do things because when we start running from where God has called us to be, we're going to find ourselves doing and saying things we should not be doing or saying. I'm a big advocate of David. I love the story of David. I love the great things. The Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. But we will see some things that we may not have looked at in the past very strongly. But there was a time when David is running and he goes to Nob. He sees this priest, Amalek, and he sees this priest, and he says, hey, I need something to buy. And so the priest is kind of concerned, man, what are you doing by yourself? Because entourage guys like him don't go by yourself. And he says, well, the king sent me on a mission. And David begins to lie to a priest. David lies to the priest and tells him, hey, the king has given me a secret mission. I'm on it. I need some food. He gets the sword back that he had gotten from Goliath, and then he ends up leaving. Well, someone spies it, sees it, reports it to King Saul. King Saul comes in and kills 85 priests. He wipes out everybody in the whole town. David is getting very concerned about everything that's going on. And David does something that's really, so when you start really walking away from where God's called you, you still got the Holy Spirit. He's doing what he feels he needs to do, but fear begins to take over. And now he's going to run over to the enemy's side. He's going to run over to the enemy side, and he's going to get there with this guy named Ashkash. It's this guy here, Achish, and he's the leader of the Philistines. Now, here's the crazy part. David's going to go to a town called Gath. He's exactly where Goliath was from. He's also now got the sword of Goliath, and the emblems on it would be known. And so he's going to go back. He's going to go to a town. He would rather go into a town where he killed a giant with all that than face King Saul. We do the same thing. Instead of facing what we need to face, sometimes we run. And then there's this moment that he's there, and he brings all his 600 guys. They bring all their people in, and then basically they end up leaving. They don't last long there because basically what he's doing, he's just a hot mess. He comes in. Now he gets fearful of the enemy. He begins to slobber on himself. He begins to scratch at the walls. He acts like a crazy person. And they said, get this man out of here, the Philistines. And he runs, and now he's running again. And the prophet Gad says, what are you doing here, man? You need to get back to the land of Judah. You need to go back to the land of Judah. Well, in Judah, there's someone looking for him, and it's King Saul. King Saul is looking for him. King Saul comes to that point, and then basically David could have killed King Saul. This is the second time he could have killed him, but he didn't. He relented, and they have a conversation there, and then they both go their separate ways. But he also knows this. I'm going to read this one verse out of 27, 1 Samuel 27, verse 1. David said to himself, one of these days I'll be swept away by Saul. There is nothing better for me than to escape immediately to the land of the Philistines. He was already out, kind of booted out of there once. Now he's going to go back to the Philistines. He's going to go back to that land. And he makes one of the gravest, at this moment in his life, he's messing up. He's in his 20s. He's screwing up. He's doing good things. He's winning some battles, but he goes in there and he lives there for a year. And the Bible says the length of time that David stayed in the Philistine territory amounted to 1 year and 4 months. And he's living there. He's lying to Ashgash, this general, this king guy, this guy of the Philistines. He's lying all the time because they would go out and David's people would go out and raid these villages, and they say, no, We were raiding over here, but he wasn't. He was really raiding over here. And David is lying, deceiving these people, it's all about worrying about what's happening to him. And I want to tell you, when you take your eyes off the Lord and you put it on what you're doing, you're worried about your security, you're worried about all those things, I'm telling you, it's going to come to a moment where everything's going to come to a pivotal moment. You cannot outrun God. If God's called you to do something, you can't outrun it. And here we find that David now is in, he's in this area. They give him a little land called Ziklag. He's there. All of his 600 soldiers that come with him, all these guys, he's turned them into soldiers. And they brought all their families in. And now here's what's happening. They've come up and they're going to go to battle with the Philistines now. Isn't that crazy? He's going to be on the side of the Philistines and they're going to fight the Israelites. That's what happens when you aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing. You'll find yourself in places where you shouldn't be. And the king there says, we're not having him over here. We're not going to have David over here. That's the guy that they sing songs about. He's killed so many of our people. Get him out of here, and I want him done. And so this guy, the one that's leading him, this Ashgash guy, says, listen, by tomorrow morning, we're going to battle. And God saves David from fighting his own people. And God's using the enemy to do this. And so anyway, Ashgash says, listen, by the morning before that sunrise, you need to get out of town. You need to be gone. And they do. And this is where we're going to pick it up. This is going to be one of the most hardest moments in David's life. One of them. He's got some more that's in the future. But we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 30 today. Now we're going to find that all the stuff that David was doing, some of it was good, but a lot of it was just not good. Lying in the with all the priests that died, all the family people that died in Nob, and we find out all this lying that's going on, all the raiding, all those kind of things. Acting like a crazy person when he should be acting like an anointed man of God. He's acting just out of character, all those things. Here we find out now that David and his men are coming back home. They're coming back home. Verse 1, David and his men arrived at Ziklag on the third day. The Amalekites had raided the Nigbah and attacked and burned Ziklag. They also had kidnapped the women and everyone in it from the youngest to the oldest. They had killed no one but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men arrived at the town, they found it burned. Their wives, sons, and daughters had been kidnapped. David and the troops wept loudly until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives, he had two wives there, and he said they had also been kidnapped. And here's what's happening. He's coming home. Everybody's coming home, and all of a sudden, home is no there. Home has been destroyed, and family members are gone. Family members are gone. And we're going to see here that this is not going to be a good day in this moment. Let me just say this. He shouldn't have been there in the first place. Things that happen in our lives, these big monstrous things, a lot of those things, they shouldn't happen. But they happen because we were in a place we shouldn't have been in. And now everybody else is paying the price. Be careful if you want to be a leader. Everything stands and falls on leadership. People follow leadership. People will follow good leadership, and people will follow bad leadership because we follow. And people will follow some people right off a cliff. But in verse 6, it says, David was in an extremely difficult position because the troops talked about stoning him, for they were all very bitter about the loss of their sons and daughters. Here's what we see. For the first time, David's leadership is being questioned. The first time in his whole thing now, he's about 29, 30, right in here. There's something else that's going on as well. King Saul over here, while David's got this hot mess, King Saul's got a hot mess. He's over here talking to a witch, trying to figure out how to win a battle. He's done talking to God. He wants to talk to the old prophet that had passed away, so he's seeking out a witch. He's doing everything unbiblical right there. David's also done some things that's unbiblical, and here he is. He's in a hot mess as well. But here's the thing. We do not see God helping Saul at all. Because there's two, Saul and David had two different leadership styles. Saul did everything that he wanted to do. He did it the way he wanted to. He made irrational decisions. He made decisions without thinking about it. He always wanted to do and please the people. Well, we see David is creating. He's young. He's working out those things on how to live a life for God. But he makes a lot of mistakes. He's done some things that are wrong. And here it is. God's not going to take all of our stuff away from us. If we made a mess, we're going to have to stand and figure out how to work through the mess. Now, he'll help us through it, but he's not going to take it away like that. So here we find out that the men are talking about stoning him. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing about leadership. When you're doing good as a leader, people will follow you and they'll be excited about you. But when you are not doing great, people want to abandon you. They want to sink the ship. So sometimes people will not follow. They're ready to abandon. They're ready to push blame when things are not going good. It's kind of like sports team. People love the teams that are winning. They love the Patriots. Some people do when they're winning. In the 80s, people like the Boston Celtics or Lakers. In the 90s, they like the Chicago Bulls. Some of us are a little tougher, though. We don't care. We just keep going for those teams that keep losing all the time, like the Browns or somebody like that just can't never get nothing going, or Miami Dolphins or somebody like that can never get to the top. I could have said the Reds, or I could have said the Cubs, but I did not. But then maybe I did, yeah. Some people will only follow when things are going well. But these men follow David. These guys were also saying, what are we doing here? Why didn't you take out King Saul? Why didn't you take out King Saul? Why are we here in Gath? They followed, not knowing all these things. And here it comes to this moment that there's some guys talking about stoning David. Now, these guys could talk about taking a spear, taking a sword, but stoning would be a painful, soul agonizing death. But here it is. We find this one piece of verse right down here. It says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Nothing will turn you faster to God than when you're in a mess. Come on. Nothing will help you turn back to God than when you're in a hot mess in life. And this is what's happening with David. David is in a very difficult, it says, David was in an extremely difficult position. He's got his men here. He's got everything. The whole town village thing has been burnt down and everybody is gone. They don't even know if they're alive. They don't even know. And here it is. David is in the center and he's going to have to figure it out. He's got people that are wanting to stone him. But this is the difference between Saul, bad leadership, and David, good leadership. Even when he's making bad decisions, I want to tell you, when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you've got more than what anyone else has. It says, David found strength in the Lord, his God. And so what he does, he gets the priest, comes in, and he's going to be talking to the Lord. And he says, and David asked the Lord, should I pursue these raiders? Will I overtake them? That's the key. David chooses to go and seek the Lord out and talk with him there. And so here it is. How do we do that? How do we encourage ourselves? One of those things is we start praying. But I want to tell you, when you're in a mess and you know you've done some things you shouldn't have done, when you begin praying, you know what you're going to move to very quickly? Repentance. You're going to move to repentance because you need to move to repentance. You need to seek the forgiveness from the Lord, from the decisions, from lying and Nob, lying to the priest, those other things. Going, what's he even doing here? He is anointed to be in the land. Even the prophet Gad said, stay in the land of Judah. And so here he is. He's not in the land of Judah. He's in the land of the enemies. Anytime you go into the land of sin and those things, you're going to find yourself with some problems. So we need to go to repentance. And when you go to praying and you go to repentance, what's happening? When you repent, you're drawing yourself to the Lord. You're drawing yourself to the Lord. And then what happens is you're getting your life right in that moment back with God. He says, should I chase him? Should I go after him? And the Lord says, yeah, you go. So he takes the 600 men and they go. And then they get so far. I mean, these guys are moving out. 200 of them can't do it anymore. They're totally exhausted. They had to stay. They get so far at this Wadi Brook, whatever it is, they stop and they're like, we can't go any further. So the 400 and David and them go. And it says here in it's 1 Samuel chapter 30. Here it is, verse 18. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken. He also rescued his two wives. Nothing of theirs was missing from the youngest to the oldest, including the sons and daughters and all the plunder the Amalekites had taken. David got everything back. He took all the flocks and herds which were driven ahead of the other livestock, and the people shouted, this is David's plunder. What we see here is this piece here, that David recovered everything the Amalekites have stolen. Listen, Satan has stolen. That's what he says in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan will come and try to steal everything. Now Satan could not steal David's anointing, but he could try to steal all these other things, destroy his whole life. Because there was a difference between Saul as king and with David to be king. And the whole thing is having God, keep moving with God, having that the Spirit of God inside of him. And so he's getting everything back. Have you noticed there that it says, they all shouted, this is David's plunder. So they got back what they got. They got back what they lost, but they also got back more than they had lost. And they call this is David's plunder. You notice there was a moment here, over here, they're ready to stone him, but over here, they're ready to shout out, great David, this is David's plunder. Crowds do this all the time. Be careful. The Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Make sure that when you are lifting someone up, you're doing it for the right reasons. And make sure that you be very careful about tearing people down. But here it is. He's got this plunder. This is going to come into a piece. But here's what's happened. This is a really unique piece here we see. Verse 21, when David came to the 200 men, he had been too exhausted to go with him and had been left at that Wadi Besor. They came out to meet him and to meet the troops with him. And when David approached the men, he greeted them. But here it is. But all the corrupt and worthless men among those who had gone with David argued. So I want to remind you, just because David had men doesn't mean they were all good guys. He met a lot of these at the cave of Adullam. He met a lot of them. These were people that were in debt. These were people running away. These were just really a lot of messed up people. So there were some corrupt. There were still some that were corrupt. But they all got there and they argued with David because they did not go with us. We will not give any of the plunder we recovered to them except for each man's wife and children. They may go with them. So what they're saying is like, hey, they didn't go with this, so they don't get anything. But here's what I read. I just read the previous couple of verses that this is David's plunder. That's the extra. David's, all David's. God is watching all of this. And God is working through David now. You see, before David's running back and forth in Ziklag and Gath and all that, and we don't hear a whole lot about what God is doing because David is doing. You see, when we're doing our own thing, we're doing our own thing and it doesn't work. And all that will come to a point. And the longer you're in it, the harder it is going to be able to work through it. But David chose to seek the Lord and encourage himself and be reminded. Another one of those things I just want to let you know real quick is when you want to encourage yourself and you're in that moment, listen, remember all the things that God did for you in the past. And you'll see that when you seen God work with you in the past, it was when you were living your life with God. Sometimes some of us have to go far back into the past because we haven't been living right with God. So our testimonies are pretty far back because testimonies happen to the men and women of God that are living for God. And so we see that the men say, you know what? They don't get anything. They quit. They stopped. But David said, my brothers, you must not do this. With what the Lord has given us. There it is. What the Lord has given us. Before David was doing all of his own things, he knew about going to the priest. He knew where to go. He knew where the temple was, but he was going there to get stuff. He didn't go there to worship. He went to get stuff. Now he's testifying about the power of God. See, when he got his life, he's getting it all back. And he says, we must not do this because this is what the Lord has given us. He's not giving himself credit. This is what the Lord has given us. He's protected us and handed us over to the raiders who come. He handed over to us the raiders who came against us. Who can agree to your proposal? The share of one who goes into battle is to be the same as the share of the one who remains with the supplies. They will share equally. That's not a man's decision. That's God's decision. God has spoken through David. And what we see here is that was a law that David ends up keeping on. And a policy for them. And that says it continues to this day. So we see that God's now we have this plunder. We have all of that. But then it goes to verse 26. When David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the plunder to his friends. And it lists all these places, Judah, all these places. He sent gifts to Bethel, to Aurora. All these places and all the towns where he had ran back and forth when he was hiding from Saul. He not only takes care of those 200 individuals, but he also begins to take the plunder and he begins to give it all out to all the other towns and all the places where they helped him in the past and places that he knew that were godly. You see, when you're living your life not the way that God wants it to, we're running around trying to beat life and you can't beat it. But when we turn back to God, we turn it to where we need to go. Listen, be reminded, that guy is still sitting over there at that witch's house trying to figure it out. And he has an extraordinary experience that scares him to death. And a prophetic piece comes out and says, tomorrow you're going to die. And your sons are going to die in that battle. What battle? The battle that God saved David from going into and to fight the same battle against Saul. God says, God is not going to have the two anointed to be fighting to one another. David's in a hot mess. He don't even realize that within a few days he's going to be a king. But you can't see that stuff when you're living in sin. You can't see that stuff when you're running from God. You can't see that stuff when you're all standing in front of your own big hot mess. Now he's got all this weight that's off of him. Now he's wanting to share all this with him. He's sharing all this. So he encourages men. He ends up recovering what was lost. If you know your Bible in Genesis, you'll see a story about Abraham. Abram at that time when he had his nephew named Lot who was living in the city of Sodom. And some kings come in, about five kings. They come in and they kidnap a bunch of people out of Sodom and they end up taking Lot as well. And the message gets back to Abraham, and basically, Abraham hears it. He says, basically, in our terms today, he said, we're not having that. He gathers up 300 men, and they go out, and he gets what's his. He goes out and saves his family. He gets what was stolen, and he brings it back. And they're all wanting to make him big. He said, no, I don't want any of your stuff. But what does he do? How is he able to do that? Because Abraham at that moment was walking with the Lord. He could have done it with 20 people, but he did it with 300. You know, 300 trained men, he goes and gets it. When you are walking with the Lord, it doesn't mean you're perfect. You're walking with the Lord. You're trying to live out the life God's called you to. I'm telling you, that's when scriptures come alive. When James says the fervent effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, which means that a person that's righteous, that's living for Christ right now, a person's prayers are powerful. When you're walking and living with Christ, I'm telling you, the things will move right out of your way. You can move right through whatever's in front of you. There's amazing things can happen. But when you're not walking with Christ, you will continue to battle those things in life that sometimes you just shouldn't be battling. And now when you get it right with the Lord, not only does He give you what you lost so much, sometimes He gives you even more. And then the wise person will say, this wasn't mine in the beginning, and begins to give it out to others. What is God doing with that? To make that person feel great? No, it's a restoring of that person's relationship with Him. What is it doing? It's giving God the opportunity for His name to be glorified. You see, God wants you to glorify His name in your life. God wants you to be a walking, just to glorify Jesus in your life. By your actions, how you say, how you live your life, what you do. And we see David doing this right here. David is doing this, and he's passing it out. He tells the guys, listen, this is done. Hey, we can't do this because this is what God has done. He has given us all of this. He has protected us. He's given our enemy into our hands. He wasn't able to say that for so long. There's things that they were doing in their own strength. They were going out getting these little victories and raiding. They were doing that for this reason. They were just doing that. But I think a year and 4 months, God was tired of it. And God said, I'm going to let everything be wiped out. Giving him another opportunity, everything to be wiped out. Because God anointed him to be a king. God anointed him to prepare himself to be in the land of Judah. And he's finding himself in the land of the Philistines. And his whole life, it's just not looking good. For a year and 4 months, the people of Judah didn't even see him. They didn't even see him. Sometimes that's like that in church. You don't see somebody for a year. Let me just tell you, if they're not going to church, if they're not going to another church, let me tell you, I will almost guarantee you their life is not right with the Lord. Not always. Things happen, but I'm just saying for the majority, most people, their life is not right with the Lord because God calls us to come to worship. And so here it is, David. Just see how quickly God is working in his life as soon as he gets to that moment where he begins to encourage himself with the Lord. He's doing that piece that he needs to do and all that. And then God begins. When God, then all of a sudden God just jumps in. And when God jumps in, things begin to change. While he's out doing that, that war has already begun that next day. King Saul is out there fighting the Israelites. King Saul is out there fighting. King Saul's and the Israelites are fighting the Philistines, and they're fighting, and they're going out there. And here we find out that David is coming back with all of his plunder and all the things, and they're very happy, they're very joyful. But let me just tell you, on the other side of the land, here's what's happening: King Saul is fighting with the Philistine army, and then it says here the Philistines pursued Saul and his sons and killed his sons. And when the battle intensified against Saul, the archers found him and severely wounded him. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and run me through with it, or these uncircumcised men will come and run me through and torture me. But his armor bearer would not do it because he was terrified. Then Saul took his sword, his own sword, and he fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his own sword, and he died with him. So on that day, Saul died together with his three sons, his armor bearer, and all of his men. And then we go into the next chapter. David becomes king. I just wonder if it would have happened a little sooner if David wasn't running around trying to do his own thing and living in fear. There's a whole piece there. Just living in fear of the enemy and not seeing how great God is. You see, he needed to go back and revisit the moment where he was standing in front of a giant and defeated the giant. Because he gave God praise there. And you'll see these moments when things weren't going great, you don't see David praising God. Not much. There's a little bit of it. But even when we're not walking with the Lord, sometimes we can praise God, but we're not walking with Him well. But we know it because we know we're a part of, He's a part of us. But we're just out of, we're out of His will. We're out of His will. David struggled. It's a lot of weight to be anointed. It's a lot of weight to be in the king's family. It's a lot of weight to have all those things. And all those things are very big. But I'm going to tell you, nothing can be as bigger than the word fear. When you're walking with the Lord, there is nothing to fear of God. Do you know that? When you're walking with God, there's nothing to fear. There's only one fear that you really would have with the Lord is this, is that the Lord would just take His blessed hand off of you. But when you're walking with the Lord, it's good. There's nothing you can't do that He wants you to accomplish. There's nothing, there's no place you can't go that He wants you to do that you can't go if you're walking with Him. When you're walking with Him, it's right. It's right because it's right. It's right because it's righteous. It's right because it's what God wants. But I have a feeling some of us today are still over here in the enemy's land. We're believers. You might be a believer, but you're over in the wrong side. You're in the wrong territory. You're on the wrong side of the line. You're trying to be the Christian. You want to be the Christian, but you can't do it because you live it in fear. There's other things that's drawing you over there, and you can't. But you know where you need to be. David knew where he needed to be. But he lived over there for a year and 4 months. A year and 4 months. Some of the hardest years that David had was these last 4 or 5 years that he had running from Saul. Why does it take us so long to get our life right with God? Why does it take us so long? Because we still want to be in control. Amen? We still think we know better. We still think we know better than the Lord. We still think we know. We got the world speaking its worldly wisdom into us, its worldly knowledge trying to tell us. We have other things, and we have all these voices, but I want to remind you, there's one voice that's stronger than all, and that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks truth. The Holy Spirit speaks the will of God into our lives. The Holy Spirit doesn't want us to have harm, but the Holy Spirit wants to bless us. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us into a life of righteousness, that we might be a beam of light in this dark world. And so all the things that David was able to accomplish, the things that were good, were all accomplished by God working through him. And David knew that. And David praised God for that. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. How is that? Because I think one of the things is God, that David just loved God. He loved him. But let me tell you, we can say and do things against someone that we love, amen? We can hurt those whom we love. We can walk away and abandon those whom we love. But another piece, I think, the reason that the Scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart was that David was a man of repentance. He knew, when he comes to those moments where he knew his life wasn't right, he come to those pivotal moments where God was just said, what are we doing here? He would be a man of repentance. And you'll see that as we go through this series. He was a man of repentance. I pray today that you're a person of repentance, which means when you sin in your life and your life is not right, that you're seeking God and you go and you do the 1 John 1:9, you know, you confess your sins to Christ and Christ forgives us of those sins. And I'm praying that you and we as a church would know that when we make decisions, we want to make decisions as a church. We want to make decisions that are godly, that are righteous, that we spend time in prayer. Not because, oh, I think this is what we should do. Oh, we should do that. Listen, our decisions here that we make here in the church, I'm telling you, there's time spent in prayer. And God doesn't always do it in the way the world would want to do it. Because if we do it the way the world wants to do it, guess what we wind up doing? We did it because we had all the money. We did it because these 3 people joined the church. These 10 people joined the church and they had all this status in the world. Or they had all this money in the world. No. God does things differently so that He will get the praise for it. That He will get the honor and He will get the glory for it. but not only just in the church-wise, but also in my life and in your life. How much are you letting God do in your life? How much are you allowing God to work in and through your life? How much are you giving back in whatever way that is of what God has given to you? God is an amazing God, folks. God is an amazing God. He don't sit there and just twiddle his thumbs. He is a God of action. And he wants us to be a people of action, but doing the right actions. And when we find ourselves doing the wrong actions, God will allow and put up with it for a while. A year and 4 months. And there were some other things even past that. God will give it time. Don't be hard on people all the time. Don't be so hard. You'll find yourself in a spot one day. Your faith also will be tested. There were so many things that God was allowing to happen to test David so David would learn, because he's just getting ready to be king. He's going to be a 30-year-old king. And you can't do everything with a sword. He learned. God gave him some hard lessons. We found out that he chose right. I got to get right with God right now. He's the only one that can get me out of this situation. And if we know the truth, that we would be able to say the same thing today. God is the only one. Jesus is the only one that can get us out of that situation that we're in today. Father, as we gather ourselves together today, as we have done, we pray, Father, Lord, your Spirit will continue to move throughout this service upon us, Lord, as we see in this moment. And we just ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's